Well, amen. Praise the Lord. They could not, and he resurrected from the grave, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us today. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John chapter 5, John chapter 5, as they could not understand just who he was and how he was able to do what he did. John chapter 5, we're going to be beginning with verse 17, and we'll read down to verse 23 this morning. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it already has been just being assembled together in your name. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already received from the music and for Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. And now, Father, as we have opened up the precious Word of God, and we've read this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that you would use, Lord, this preaching hour to present the truths that you would have us to receive from this passage. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd study chapter 5, you'd find that Jesus healed a crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. He did this on the Sabbath day, and as they approached him, he declared to be the Son of God. Now, as Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God, we know today that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We know that he resurrected from the grave some 3 days after he was crucified, just as he said he would. And as he is God the Son, then we also understand what Jesus was teaching them at this time that was God's will for their life. If you look there with me in the message I'm going to preach to you this morning in verse 23, when the Bible says that all men should honor the Son. Can I tell you, it's the Father's will that all men. Jesus came, went to Calvary's cross because he wanted all men to have an opportunity to be saved. Amen. Jesus Christ needs to be looked to by all men as the Savior of the world, the only begotten Son of God. In order for man to honor him as God wanted him to be honored, the Father has committed, in verse 22, the Bible says, all judgment unto him. All judgment of humanity has been given to Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. If you'll study the Bible, you'll find that it's very clear that, first of all, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to judge. He came to be a sacrificial lamb. He came to establish the New Testament church. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. He came to fulfill and establish New Testament Christianity. and then to go to the cross of Calvary and there pay a sin debt that all humanity owed and could not pay. He resurrected on the third day. After spending 40 days teaching the apostles, we find that he ascended up to heaven. And there he still sits on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. He's still not judging. He came to save us. And now he's providing for us intercession. And he will intercede for all of those who will look to him as their Savior. And you can have access to the holies of holies or into the very presence of an almighty creator God. He's there living to make intercession for us. But after this, he will be judge of all humanity. After this life, Jesus will judge all. We find that in the Bible, it teaches us that there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. The first judgment that he will judge will be that of those who have put their faith and trust in him. Those who have put their faith and trust in him know him to be the Son of God, know him to be the Savior of the world. And when our life is over here and we go, our spirits go immediately to be with God in the presence of God, absent from their bodies, be present with the Lord. And then when the rapture takes place, he will no longer be an intercessor. When the rapture takes place, he will call the body home. And as we go into heaven to ever be with him, the first thing, one of the first things that we will face is a judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we've done with our Christianity. We are saved, we'll have a glorified body, but we will stand and give an account of our Christian life before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Now after that and after he comes back and after there's a millennial reign of Christ, then there's going to be a final judgment where Jesus Christ will sit on the throne, and it is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And all of those that have failed to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will stand and give an account of themselves and be cast into a lake of fire, the Bible says. And there stay throughout eternity with no hope of ever escaping the damnations of hell. That's what the Bible teaches. In knowing this truth, and today as we know who Jesus is, we are to honor him. In our own society, we find that judges are to be honored. I don't know if you've ever been in a court or not, and probably won't have you show hands because you never know. Especially if I say, how many times have you been in court? And for what cause have you been in court? Yeah, unless you're a lawyer, all right, then it's okay. But when the judge enters the courtroom, a bailiff will say, "All rise for the honorable," whoever the judge is. Now we just know that. That has been established in our society, that judges are to be honored. In honoring judges, it shows respect for the position and also for the judicial system that governs our society. So rightly so, that person that sits in that position, whether you like that person or not, that position is to be honored. If you do not honor that position, you can be found in contempt and actually be placed in jail just simply because you failed to honor the position of that judge. John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." That he did this, that all men should honor the Son. It's not a question. It should not be a question. If we understand the Bible, if we believe in an almighty God, and we understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth to give us an example, to show us the way of Christianity. He gives us an example of how we are to live our Christian lives. And in living our Christian lives, the Bible reveals to us that God's will for every man and woman and child of the age of accountability, first of all, but especially when you do receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, God's will is for us to honor the Son. Honor the Son. How are we to honor? What does that look like? If you look in verse 19, the Bible says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise," because He's honoring the Father. He's honoring the Father by doing and being all that the Father wanted Him to do and to be. You've heard me say this quite a few times, no doubt, if you've been at the church for very long. My wife and I raised two daughters, and they would always come to me and ask me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Father's Day? What do you want for Christmas? And my answer, once they got to the age where they understood this, was always the same. I want you to, first of all, love God and love your sister. And turn out right. There's no better way for a child to honor their parents than to live as a life that they were raised to live. And turn out the way their parents wanted them to turn out. That's honoring that one who has brought you into this world. That's honoring the one who has raised you in this world. And you are looking to them and you want to turn out the way that they want you to turn out. Can I tell you, that is an example that Jesus gave to us and how He honored the Father. And as He honored the Father is how we are to honor Him.
Amen.
Yeah. He's our example. He honored the Father, and as He honored the Father, we are to honor Him. He said there, the Son can do nothing of Himself. If you look on over in chapter 5 and verse 19, that's why He said the Son can do nothing of Himself. If you look to chapter 5 and verse 23, "For the Father judgeth no man." And no, I'm sorry, verse 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." The Son doeth nothing of Himself. That means that He chose to honor the Father. Every child will choose to honor their parents. It's a choice. It's God's will for us that all should honor the Son, but it will be a choice that we will make. Our flesh does not want us to honor the Son. "For without me you can do nothing." John chapter 15 and verse 5. "For without me you can do nothing." So Jesus wanted us to understand that if we do not look to Him, we cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. But as we look to Him, we can. "For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Jesus said, "I can't." Now, He was God the Son. He could, but He said, "I will not do anything that would dishonor my Father." So I cannot do anything, amen, outside of it's my Father's will. And the very same thing He tells us, you can do nothing without me, but with me you can do all things. We honor the Son by living our lives to please Him. Every time you exalt His name, you honor Him. Every time that you tell somebody about Him, you honor Him. Because that's what He would have us to do. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and we are to let our light shine. We are to help people to understand who He is. And when you exalt Him, you honor Him. If you fail to acknowledge him, you dishonor him. Yeah. When you follow his example, you honor him. When you follow his example, for as he followed the Father's example. When you determine that I'm going to live a Christ-like life, you honor him. When we do as he says, we honor him. When you read the Bible and you realize this is the words of God that we are to live by, and when you look at it and you read it and you study and you say, this is what the Bible tells me that I need to do, then as I do that, I honor him. Now, many times our children would come to us and they would want to make sure what we told them to do. And I would much rather them make sure instead of doing something that I did not want them to do. And so when they did something that I did not want them to do, ignorance was no excuse. They still got it. And so they learned to make sure that they knew what we wanted them to do and how we wanted them to be raised, because we raised them to honor their parents. Religion without Christ's doctrine is not honoring him. There's all different kinds of religions. There's many different types of churches. And on Sunday morning Sunday school, we're teaching on the biblical distinctives of Baptist. Understanding it's the Bible that we're looking to. Because I want to honor God, and I have to know what the truth is. Just going to church and just following after a religion is not honoring him, but following his word, understanding his doctrine. The Bible says in 2 John, if I do not have the doctrine of Christ, I have not God. You cannot honor him just simply through religion. You honor him by understanding the doctrines of Christ and following those doctrines. Salvation without service is not honoring him. That all men should honor the Son. Salvation is not honoring him. Salvation is just understanding that I'm lost and on my way to hell and believing that Jesus died for me and paid my sin debt. Salvation is a gift. You don't work to receive a gift of salvation. You believe, you have faith to receive a gift of salvation. But once you are saved, you're more accountable, and if you're saved, you are not honoring him by not serving him. So salvation without service is not honoring him. And it's God's will that all men should honor the Son. So the Bible reveals to us that it's God's will for us to honor the Son. And when we honor the Son, it brings honor from God. Brings honor from God. Look at chapter 5 there and look down to verse 44. Later on, this very same chapter, dealing with the people, he said this: how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Seek not the honor that cometh from God. Not only are we to honor the Son, but as we honor the Son, we can look to him and have expectations and seek his honoring us. That's what the Bible teaches. John chapter 12 now. Look over there with me. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 26. Jesus says this: if any man serve me, okay, well now you're saved. You don't honor him if you're not serving, but once you get saved, if you want to honor him, you look to serve him. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. When we do God's will, can I tell you, it brings God's blessings into our lives. I believe a perfect example of this is found back in the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, let me just read it to you if you want to write it down, if you can go back there with me, but write it down and study it afterwards. But a great one of the stories that everyone no doubt has read and studied, the story of David defeating Goliath. But we find here in chapter 17, as David was just going to the battlefront just to encourage his brothers, and then he heard Goliath come out and defy the armies of God. David said, "I'll fight him. Is there not a cause?" David gives us this example and this illustration. David's motives was to bring honor to God. Look, if you will, chapter 17 and verse 45, because when he got in front of the Philistine, he said this, "Then said David to the Philistine, to this giant, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." So David's motives here in knowing who God was said, "I'm going not to bring honor to myself. I'm going to bring honor to the God of Israel so the whole world may know that he is real." And as he went into this battle with a desire to honor God, God honored him by giving him the victory. David could not have defeated Goliath on his own. He understood that. But he said, "There's a cause for me, a small young man, to go against this mighty giant, this warrior of the Philistines. There's a cause. There's a God in heaven. And the world needs to know that there is a God in heaven. And he's able to do whatever God wants to be have done. And he's able to strengthen me to do whatever God wants me to do. And so I am going to honor him by going against this Goliath, and he will honor me by giving me this victory." And that principle is exactly what Jesus was teaching the disciples. If you will honor me, my Father will honor you. If you look to honor me and live your life as God wants you to live your life, exalting me, looking to accomplish my will for your life, listen, God will give you the victories enabling you to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. Isn't that great? That's a blessing. Oh, how we need to know that God has given all judgment unto the hands of Jesus Christ, who is to be honored by all people, but especially those that have put their faith and trust in him. And when you honor him, you can expect the blessings of God upon your life. Wow. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says this, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy," that's the righteousness of God, the ways of God and mercy, "findeth life." Jesus was called it more abundant life. Righteousness and honor. Isn't that good? "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." God is working to bless you. That's just what the Bible teaches. But in order to have that blessing, I have to choose to honor the Son. What keeps us from it? The last part, last thought I want you to have tonight. What keeps us from honoring the Son? Again, as we go back and we look at what the Bible says, and Jesus says that all men should honor the Son. The key right there is should. It's God's will for your life, but He does not force it. The same as it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. God wants every man, woman, and child at the age of accountability to be saved and be given a gift of everlasting life. That is God's will for your life, but God does not force that. Even though it's His will, that's what He wants every person to have, is this gift of life. You can only have it if you choose to have it. If I want to give you a gift, I can have it for you. It can have your name on it. But if you don't reach out and receive it, it's not yours. I want you to have it. I put your name on it. I purchased it. But you have to reach out for it. You have to want it. And once you want it, you receive it. It's yours. I'm not going to take it back. It's yours. You don't have to keep on working for it. You don't have to keep on paying for it. No, it is yours. It is a gift. But now that you have it, this is what I want you to do with it. I want you to honor me. That's what Jesus says. That's what God says. If you have it, then I want you to honor me with it. You have salvation. You've been equipped. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have a will for your life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. All you have to do is now is look to Him and choose to honor the Son. It's a choice. Matthew chapter 6. Almost done here, so follow with me. Get a hold of this as we close here this morning. Matthew chapter 6. You see, all of us have to make the choice, but it's not an easy choice. Because we have something that's called a sinful nature. We have something the Bible reveals to us as the flesh. And in this flesh, we have lust. We have the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and pride of life. And they all work opposite God's will for our lives and honoring the Son. Because the flesh would want you to honor yourself first. And if you look to honor yourself, then you can't honor God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men." Okay, you're giving, but you're giving so that you might be acknowledged and have the glory of men. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And that's not the reward of God. Because you have done it to honor yourself, to bring glory upon yourself. This is what Jesus taught. Look on down to verse 5, and He says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." That's not going to bring the answers from God. God honors us, and part of God honoring us is answering our prayers. And yet, if you're praying to be seen of men, then that's not honoring God. And if you're not honoring God, God is not going to honor you. So He says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." We have this flesh that says, "No, I want people to see me. I want people to think I'm something. I want to be exalted above men." And God says, "You have your reward. You can choose to do that. And you might have a few followers." But if you're doing that to be seen of men, don't expect God to honor that. Right after that, Jesus said in verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." That's not the way that you need to live your life if you want the blessings of God. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask them. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see the difference there? Honoring God first. Saying, God, thy kingdom first. Thy will first. Not mine. Not mine. Jesus would teach in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you, because God will honor you. When you honor God first, then God will honor you. We need to, the Bible says, die to self and become alive unto him. Live our Christian lives not to be seen of men, not to be heard of men, but to live as God would have us to live, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, to exalt him, to exalt his will, his plan, his ways. That's honoring him. A hindrance is ourself. Another hindrance is somebody else wanting you to put them before him. Can I tell you, a lot of marriages have problems because we are not looking to God first of all. Throughout our married life, I have encouraged my wife to love God first. If you love God first, I would not be able to ask for a better helpmate, a better wife than you can make me. If you're looking to God, he can enable you to be everything that I need. I've encouraged her because she needs to allow me to love God first. If she encourages me to love God first, then I will always treat her as God wants me to treat her. I will always be there for her as God has me to be there for her. She could not ask for a better husband if she would encourage me to put God first. And when you put God first, you honor him, he honors you, and you can have a blessed relationship. Too often parents put their children first. It's not what God wants for your child. It's what that child wants. And when you give that child what they want, even though it's not necessarily what God wants for them, you're honoring that child above honoring God. And when you honor that child above honoring God, God can't honor that. But when you honor God and say, God, these are the children that you've given us. Help me to raise them as you want them to be raised. I dedicate them to you, and you will come first in how I raise them. Then God will honor that because you're honoring him. When you're being more of the employee that your employer wants instead of the employee that God wants you to be, you're hurting yourself. And if your employer knows what God can do in making you the best employee that you can be, that employer ought to want you to put God first. Because then God will bless that. The government used to want Christians to put Christ first. And God would honor that. When they continue to put humanism ahead of God, God can't honor that. That all men should honor the Son. Listen, when we do things God's way, God honors that. And the thing that I want out of this life more than anything else, understanding who God is and understanding that Jesus is the ultimate judge of all things, I want to honor him first. I trust you will want to honor him first. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God's will that all should. And that should is a key because you have to choose to. God's not going to force it. But oh, how blessed it is when you do it. Honor the Son. Father, we bow before you now. And Lord, I've preached this passage the best I can. I presented your truth. And I pray now, God, that you would take it and you would make application to all that are here that have sat underneath the teaching and the preaching of your word. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, it's your will that they get saved. I pray that they would choose to be saved today. If there's anyone here that's saved but not choosing to serve you, it's your will that they serve you, and I pray that they would commit to that today. If they're not honoring you first, above all other things, I pray that they would commit to honoring you first. Work in our midst, God. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.